Ezra Hashem Yisbarich, today's daf is Nun in Masechet Shabbos, the 111th daf in Shas. We continue from the bottom of Mem Tes Amud Beis, a couple of lines from the bottom. The Mishnah had told us earlier, on Mem Tes Amud Aleph, that there are two types of hatmana. One is hatmana of hides, and then one is allowed to be metaltel the hides. Those are not considered Muktza, because hides are used for people in other contexts aside from insulating. They use it to recline on. And then there's another type of material that's used, and that is the wool that's only used for hatmana, and those materials cannot be moved. You cannot be metaltal because they're muktza. Amar Rabbah, five lines from the bottom, lo yishanu ela shelo itamam behem. These halachas were only learned in regards to someone who did not do hatmana with them. Aval taman behen, if he did hatmana with the tzemer, mitaltlin osam, then in such a case, you're allowed to move them. Asks the Gemara, Eisve, Yehu merabonim bar yumi lirabona, lirava. There was one of the rabbana who asked Rava, our Mishnah seems to say not that way. Tom de megizet tzemer vein mitaltlin osam. What our Mishnah spoke about, an instance where you were using the materials to insulate, and nevertheless the Mishnah said that the halacha is that one is not allowed to move them. Rather, the only way the Mishnah at the bottom of the Testament Aleph had said that you're allowed to do it is to move the cover, and then they'll fall down. So how can you say if they're used it's acceptable? Eli yitmar hachi yitmar. So Gemara says no. This is how it should be learned. Amar Rava lo yishanu ela shelo yichdan lehatmana. When do we say that the halacha is that you're not allowed to be metaltel tzemer if it hasn't been designated for hatmana? Since it hasn't been designated, so then in such a case it doesn't have any particular purpose on Shabbos, any defined purpose, and therefore it's not considered a kli that one could be metaltel. It's muktza. It has been not designated for any particular purpose, hence muktza. But if it was designated for hatmana, so then in such a case, one would allow to be metaltel those tzemer. The Gemara continues four lines on the top. Itmar namiki also Rav and Rabbi Yaakov Amar Rav Asi ben Shol Amar Rebbe was calling the name a Rebbe loy shanu. When did we say that it's usher to be metaltel this wall? Elish lo yichton lahatmana. It wasn't designated for hatmana. Avol yichton lahatmana. If it was designated for hatmana, metaltel in osan. In such a case, it can be used. Ravina Amar Omer. Ravina said, Bishel hapesek shanu. Those things that were set aside to be sold. It could very well be that the word pesek over here is the same word in modern Hebrew, petek. Petek means a note. And that is that there was wool that had been noted, was set aside with a price or designated to be sold. See, our Mishnah was talking about when it said that it was also to be metaltel, it was those things that were beshel ha-petek. It was something that a person had put aside as merchandise and not to be used normally. Tanya Nami Hachi, we learned in a brayse like this way, Gizei Tzemer Shel HaPetek Ein Metaltel Nosan. Vim Hiskinin Baal HaBayis Hashnamish Ben Metaltel Nosan. But if the Baal HaBayis designates them to be used, so then in such a case, it would be acceptable. Tana Rav HaVarachana Kamei Dirav. Charyos Shel Dekel. Charyos Shel Dekel is a type of basket that was used from a hardened palm tree branches. They didn't have to be used as a basket, but they were often turned into a basket, as evident in the Gemara on Kuf Mem Vav. Amid Aleph, Choslos Shel Grogeres. Either way, it is a hardened form of the palm tree. Shegodron, that they were originally cut off, L'Shem, Le'etzim, in the name of Etzim. V'nimlach Aleim L'Yeshiva. So originally you thought that you were going to use it for some type of firewood, and then you decide to use it to sit on. Sarech likasher. In order for it to have a status of a kli and not to be muktza, firewood is muktza. In order for it not to be muktza, you need to tie it together. Rav Shimon Gamliel Oimer ain't sarech likasher. You don't. Rav Shimon Gamliel says you do not tie it together. The Gemara continues. Hu tani la vu amela.
he learned this mission, then he concluded halacha k'Rav Shimon Gamliel, that we follow like Rav Shimon Gamliel, that does not have to be tied together. Gemara now continues on what is necessary in regards to allowing one to be metaltel to move the chorios shel dekel. Itmar, Rav Amar Kosher, Rav says that you need to tie them, Ushmuel Amar Choshev. And Shmuel says, all you have to do is have kavana to use it, and then that's going to be enough. And there is a third opinion. Ravasi Amar Yoshev Vafal Pishalo Kisher, Vafal Pishalo Chishev. Ravasi says that even machshava is not necessary. Rav seems to follow the opinion of the Tanakama when it comes to Charios Shel Dekel that requires a Maisa in order to make it not Muktza. Ushmuel Nami Hudamar Kerem Shimon Gamliel. And Shmuel seems to be following the opinion of Shimon Gamliel that a Maisa is not necessary, but Machshava is necessary. El Ravasi Damar Kaman. But who is Ravasi following? So the Gemara answer is the Amar Kaitan. He's following the following Tana. The Sanya we learned in a Baisa, it's a Tosefta, Perik Vav. We learned in a Baisa in regards to Otsa. Yotzin Bipikurin. One is allowed to go out with flax that is put on top of a wound. Here we're going to be discussing the halachos of putting something on a wound and then, quote unquote, carrying it outside, taking it outside. Is that hotza or not? So you're allowed to go out with the flax, ubitzipa, and with wool that has been cleaned, bizman shetzavim b'shem and v'karchem b'mashicha. At a time that it's obvious that it's there for a wound, and it's been designated clearly for a wound by the fact that it was painted with oil and soaked with some type of medicinal ointment. Lo tzavim b'shemen, if it wasn't painted with oil, v'lo karcham b'mashicha, and an ointment wasn't put on it, ein yotzim b'hen, you can't go out with it. V'im yotzim b'hen sho achas b'od yom, but what if you went out with it for 1 hour while it's still day before Shabbos, then afal b'shelo tzav v'lo karcham b'mashicha, mutter latzei spen. So first let us explain this halach in terms of hotza. For an individual to be able to go out with something attached to their body, it needs to be shown that it is serving as some type of beged. Rashi explains in Dibur HaMaskil Bizman that the moment an individual puts on a bandage in order for his other clothing not to become ruined, then in such a case, that becomes a malbush in of itself. Says the Braisa that the only time it's permissible is where it's clear that it's being used not as some added thing that he wants to carry out, but as a normal bandage that is used to protect his clothing, and that's if oil and ointment is put inside. However, even if he does not do that, there is another way it's mutter, and that is if he already acted, he did a maisa that showed that he was interested in this pishtan or semer by carrying it before Shabbos, by doing a maisa, so then in such a case, that is enough. This braisa seems to be consistent with the idea of Ravasi, that machshava will work, but also a maisa beforehand would be acceptable as well. Tosas Nibar Maskla Avalot Savan points out that the raya, at first glance of the braisa, is hard to understand. Because, at the end of the day, the braisa is talking about hotza, and Ravasi is talking about muktza. So Tosis explains in Dibur HaMaskil Avol that if the halacha would be this way in regards to hotza, that if it wasn't ointed and wasn't prepared beforehand, there would be an isser of carrying it, so too there would be an isser of muktza as well, as tiltal as well. The two would go hand in hand. That's how Tosis learns pshat in the Gemara's raya. The Gemara continues, Amar Ravashi Afanan Nami Tanina. We also learned later on, Kuf Mem Aleph, this opinion Ravasi in a Mishnah. Hakasha al Gabe Mita, if there's straw on top of a bed, lo yinanu biyado,
you're not allowed to move it with your hands. Avol minano biguf. You're allowed to move it with your body. The way the Chazon Ish understands this Mishnah, it means you're allowed to lay down, even though tangentially the hay is going to be moved. However, if beforehand it had already been used as a bed, so then in such a case, he's allowed to move it directly with his hand. Shmami, no, we see from here that you don't need machshava, even a maisa beforehand is enough. Uman tana de poligalad Reb Shimon Gamliel, and who is the tana that we had by Chariyah Sheldekel that we mentioned disagreed with Reb Shimon Gamliel and said that one needs to do a maisa? So says the Gemara, Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva. Dechiyasa Rav Dimi Amar Zeira Amar Rabbi Chanina. Pamachas halach Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva lemakom echad. Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva was going to a particular place. Matza Chariyah Sheldekel, and he found these branches of the palm, shegodram losum eitzim. He cut them down to make for wood. Vamelam letalmidav tzu v'chashu k'deish neishav alem machar. Go out and think and designate these branches so that we could use them tomorrow. V'lo yedana ibeis hamishtahave ibeis ha'aval have. And I didn't know if at that time it was to be used for a beis hamishta, for a some type of simcha, or chas v'chalil, the opposite, for mourning. Midukamar ibeis hamishta have ibeis aval have. It's mashma that when he said, I wasn't sure if it was a beis hamishta or beis aval, dafka beis aval or beis hamishta, the tridi. That there it was enough just simply to have machshava because these fellows were tarid, and when it comes to a beis hamishta or beis aval, so then in such a case that you would be lenient to allow simply for machshava. Aval hacha, but in general, kisher in, lo kisher lo. Only in that case Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva would allow it, but in general, you would need to do a maisa. There is a discussion of Rishonim, who said, v'lo yadani beis hamishta have, was it Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva himself, or, as the way Rashi had understood, that Rav Dimi said this in the name of Ze'iri, that I didn't know, and this is what Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva was thinking. It's quoted in the name of the Ramban. The Ramban says it was Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva saying this, not Ze'iri, because how could Ze'iri infer that Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva didn't say anything because it was a Beis HaMishta or a Beis HaAvel? Maybe Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva holds in all cases you don't need to do a Maisa. However, if Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva said it, as the Ramban is quoted as saying, so then we can understand the proof itself. The Gemara continues right before the wide lines. Amar of Yehuda, machnis adam loku paso offer va'asabo kol tsarko. A person is allowed to take dirt to cover excrement, Rashi explains, and use it on Shabbos, and we're not concerned that the dirt is normally mukta. Darish marzutra mishmei de marzutra rabba. Marzutra explained, the only time it's permissible is when you designate the dirt which was brought in the house in a corner to be used to clean up. However, if it was put on the floor, Rashi says, with all the other dirt in the house, in such a case, it's muktzah like the rest of the dirt. This follows Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Di kerabbanon, because if we were following the rabbanon, ha'amri be'inan maisa. It's not enough just simply to think that it's going to be used, but you need an action. Rashi explains that even though there was an action done, that it was put in the corner, but the action is not in any way making it obvious that he intends to use it. Whether he puts in the corner or he puts in the middle of the room, there is nothing in the maisa that indicates he wants to use it, like when it comes to the chariyol shel dekel by tying down the dekel. Hence, we see that the machshava is simply enough, that you don't need a maisa. Amul Rav Papa, afil teim Rabban, ad kan lo kam Rabban min maisa el midi debar avida be maisa. When the Rabbanan say that you need to do a maisa to be able to use it, that's something like the Chariyah Shodekel that you want to make into a bench that needs a maisa. The normal way is to do a maisa to tie them together. Avil midi de lo bar mevida b'maisa. But when it comes to dirt that's used to clean, then in such a case, it's not something that you normally do a maisa for. Like, in such a case, you do not need to do a maisa. Says the Gemara, Neima kitanoi. Let us suggest that this exact issue is a machlokis tanoim. B'chol chofenes hakelim. One is allowed to scrub kelim. Rashi explains in Dibur HaMaskil Chofen, you're rubbing the kli to make it shiny, the way, similar, think about the way people shine silver today. Chutz, but here, when it comes to silver, it might be a problem. Chutz mikle kesef bigartikun. Except for silver, when you're using a type of dirt, Rashi explains, it's called alum, which is used to clean silver. Everything else is permissible. Rashi explains, because you are dragging the silver that is soft and you're that's on top, and you're being memachik, you are flattening that silver out, and that's going to be problematic. However, for other kalim, it seems that the Gemara is assuming that other materials, you will not be memachik, you will not be flattening that substance. The deduces the Gemara, Hanese v'chol mutter, but other types of dirt, it's not gar tikkun, is going to be acceptable. Presumably there, you won't do memachek, and you're allowed to use them. Asks the Gemara of Atayim, but there's another braisa that says, neser v'chol osur, that's prohibited. My lav ha'okim ifli, what's this machlokis? In terms of memachek, clearly only gar tikkun, we're afraid of memachek. Why would the other braisa say neser and chol would not be acceptable? Must be that's dependent on the above machlokis. The mar sover b'ina maisa, mar sover lo b'ina maisa. One says that you need to designate beforehand, and the fact that you thought you're going to use it is not enough. And the other man d'omer says, no, you don't need a maisa as long as you have machshava, it will be acceptable. Says the gemara loy d'kulei alma lo b'ina maisa. Everybody holds you don't need a maisa. Then why is it that Neser and Chol is going to be Aser? V'lo kasha, ha-Rab Yehuda, ha-Rab Shimon. This is dependent on a machlokas, Rab Yehuda and Rab Shimon. Ha-Rab Yehuda, damar, davar, shem, iskavein, Aser. According to Rab Yehuda, holds davar, shem, iskavein, Aser, the halacha is going to be that when it comes to other dirts, not the gar tikkun, there's a possibility, a distinct possibility, that he might rub some of the material off as well, and do memachek on that material. And since there is a possibility, even though it's not his intention, the halacha is that it's asur. And the other opinion is Rabbi Shimon, who says that it's not asur as long as he wasn't mechaving. Rashi explains that when it comes to gartikun, there it's for sure going to be rubbed off. Hence, it's considered psik reshe, and even Chayiv, according to Rabbi Shim, Mod Rabbi Shim, Segresha Velo Yomus. Continues the Gemara, B'mayu came to Lahad Asharik Rabbi Shimon. So how are you learning? You're learning that the opinion that's lenient is Rabbi Shimon. Ema Seifa, what about the Seifa? Avalo Yichav Behem Sa'aro. You're not allowed to use this dirt and sand to fix his hair on Shabbos. Vi Rabbi Shimon Mishra Kashari. But according to Rabbi Shimon, then it should also be acceptable. Presumably the isser of using the sand is it might come to pull out here. But according to Rabbi Shimon, one should not be concerned because it's not inevitable that the hair is going to fall out. If it's not inevitable the hair is going to fall out, then it should be mutter according to Rabbi Shimon. How do we know it's not inevitable that it's going to fall out? That's a Mishnah in Nazir Amen Beis Amen Aleph. Nozer chofef umefasfes avalo sorek. A Nazir is allowed to wash his hair with this type of shampoo, interestingly, a dirt shampoo, but he's not allowed to comb. Of course, we know that there's a prohibition for a Nazir to cut his hair. However, it's permissible to shampoo because it's not inevitable that his hair is going to fall out. If it's not inevitable that his hair is going to fall out, then on Shabbos, the halacha should be, that would be acceptable as well to use it, according to Rabbi Shimon, should be a Darshan Shein Miskavin. Ela, rather, you have to say you're right. It can't be following Rabbi Shimon. Hava Rabbi Yehudahi. Both are following the opinion, says Darshan Shein Miskavin is Aser. Utre Tanoi, Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. There are two Tanoim within Rabbi Yehuda. What are the two Tanoim arguing about? They're arguing, Rashi explains, within Rabbi Yehuda, who says, Davar Shem Iskavin Aser, and Dibra Maskel Ella, Rashi says, they're arguing about the Metzius. Is it likely, or is there a chance even, that if you use the Chol of the Neser on Kesef, on silver, will it cause Memachik or not? The man Omer that's Matir holds that won't be Gorer and won't be Memachik. Haitana, the Gemara continues and spells out, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda Sover, Gorir, it will drag and will be prohibited. Haitana, leave it to Rabbi Yehuda Sover, Lo Gorir, it will not drag and won't do Memachik. Continues the Gemara, five lines on the top, Anuna Mebez, Mayu Kimtika Rabbi Yehuda. How you now explain this brisa according to Rabbi Yehuda? Ema Seifa, but we got another part. Avapan of Yod Veraglov Mutter, but you're allowed to use the dirt to be placed on the face. This even sounds familiar to us today, right? There are certain minerals that are taken from the land that are used as facial creams. Here in Eretz Yisrael, the dirt of Eretz Yisrael is valuable. From the Dead Sea area, they're used as facial creams and so on. So, Panav Yadur Raglev, you're allowed to put on Shabbos. Hamavir Seir asks the Gemara, how is it acceptable to put on the face? There's a distinct possibility, not for sure, but a distinct possibility that hair will come off of the face, and therefore it should be a Davar Shein Miskavin, which Rabbi Yehuda prohibits. Ibai Zema, if you want, says the Gemara, I can answer Bekata. We're talking about a child that doesn't have facial hair. Vibai Zema Beisha, or with a woman who doesn't have facial hair. Vibai Zema Bisaris. Or you could say we're talking about a individual that doesn't have male hormones that would cause facial hair. The Gemara now gives other examples of facial creams that will be permissible. It's quoted in the name of the Rambam in Perichov Gimel, Halacha Yud Gimel, that the reason why it's permissible is because these cases qualify as a Davar Sheinu Miskavein for cutting off hair. Amar of Yehuda, Afar Levinta, if we're talking about dirt from a broken up brick, Shari, it's permissible. Amar of Yosef, Kusiva, the Yasmin, the leftovers of sesame that are used is also shari, also permissible. Amarava offer pilpili shari, as well as the dirt from peppers as well would be acceptable. Amar of Sheshes, barda shari. Sheshes also allows barda. The Gemara immediately asks, my barda, what exactly is barda? Amar of Yosef, taught, what is it? Tilsa ahla, in a mixture that includes a type of grass, which his name is Ahal, that is used to remove hair. That's one third of it. Tilsa means a third. Vitilsa asa, and one third of it is of a hadas. Vitilsa sigli, and one third of it is a type of grass that is called sigli. The only time, though, the Gemara continues, that it would be permissible is if the primary ingredient is not the Ahal property, which takes off facial hair. Amar Nechemia bar Yosef, kol echad leka roba al shapir damu. It's dummy. It's permissible when the majority is not of this component that takes out the hair. This is a very interesting Mar Makom for the sugya of psik reshe, that it's not considered inevitable when the ingredient is only has one third of the normal potency of the ointment. This seems to be a very important Gemara in how to define Davar Sheinu Miskavein. Either way, the Gemara continues 12 lines from the top. Boy, my name is Rav Sheshes. Ma'uluf tzoa zeisin b'shabbos. What's the halacha in terms of hitting zeisim on Shabbos in order to take out some of their bitterness? The shaila of the Gemara is not clear, both in the Gemara as well as according to in Rashi. Tosas explains Dibra Maskel Ma'uluf Tzoa that the shaila of the Gemara is, do we consider as if he's being mashve ochel? He's making it into a food. The reason they would hit it, Tosas explains, is to take out the bitterness. And therefore, there would be an iser of tikkun ochel. L'shavya ochel is an interesting iser by itself. What exactly is that iser, l'shavya ochel? Most understand that that would be an iser de Rabbanan, not an Isur de Raisa. Either way, the shaila is whether it's mutter. Amaluhu v'chi b'chol mi'itiru? Wait a second, asks Rav Sheshes. Even during the week is it permissible? It's not. Why did Rav Sheshes ask that? Gemara immediately explains. Chasav mishum hefsid ochlin. You're causing hefsid to the zeisim. By hitting it, you're going to cause, Rashi spells out. Excuse me, Tosis does. Rashi again doesn't mention that when the mashke, when the liquid oozes out, when hitting it, it ends up going to waste. So the Gemara is asking, from Rav Sheshes, is it even permissible during the week? Says the Gemara, Lema pligi de Shmuel. Rav Sheshes' discussion disagrees with Shmuel. D'amr Shmuel, Adam asa Adam kol tzarcho bipas. Brachas nunam abay is an important rule that a person is allowed to use bread for any of his purposes. If a person wants to use the bread for some type of toelas for him, even if it's going to cause that some of the bread would go to waste, it would be acceptable. Answers the Gemara, Amri pas lo mi'isa. Hani mi'isi. The difference between the two is that when it comes to the bread, that when we say asa adam kol tzarcho bepas, that means that one is allowed to do anything one wants in terms of making it into a concoction of food. There's no bizayon by grinding it down, throwing other ingredients in, and the bread doesn't become ma'us in that process. Whether you grind it down to use, as the Gemara describes in Ketzah Mevarchin on Daf Lameches, as a lechem ha'osui lekutach, or you use it for other things, at the end of the day, it doesn't become ma'us. However, continues the Gemara, when it comes to these oils, hani mi'isi, these become ma'us, and that is going to be the problem. Amemar Razut Ravashi Aviyasi, they were sitting together, Aisul Kamei Barda, they brought this Barda in front of them, which is the above cream that we had mentioned that has one-third potency to remove here. It seems that in those days, the Barda was some type of hand cream as well. So, what happened? Amemar Ravashi Mashu, Amemar Mashi used it for the hand cream, Marzutra lo Mashu, Marzutra did not. Obviously, we have to emphasize that we're talking about on Shabbos, then we're not talking about a thick ointment of cream, which would be problematic as well in terms of mimachek. Amrulei, they asked, Amemar Ravashi asked Marzutra, lo sav lamar lahodam Rav Sheshes Barda Shari. What do you say about Rav Sheshes that had said that Barda was permissible? Amrulehu, Rav Mordechi responded to them, Bar Mine Demar, do not learn from Rav Sheshes, Dafilu Bechol Namilo, because during the week it's also problematic to use this Barda. In other words, Rav Mordechi was saying, don't learn from Marzutra's actions, Rav Mordechi explained, because he holds that even during the week, is aser. Dafil b'chol namilo svirle. Savar lakai tana. Why does he prohibit using the barda? The sign we learn in Brisa. Megarer adam gilde tsoa v'gilde makashal v'sara b'shvil tsaro. That the halacha is one is allowed to use this type of cream on his body in order to relieve pain from certain scratches, it seems. However, in b'shvil yapos, if he's doing it in order to make his body look better, asur, then it is prohibited. What's the prohibition of using, explains Rashi? Because it's the derech of women to use this ointment. That falls into the pasuk. In Parshas Kiseitse, lo yilbash gever simlas isha. The inu keman sivrua, but what about the others that weren't worried about it? Keha desanya, they followed the other opinion. A person is allowed to wash his face every day because it's not beautifying himself like a woman, but rather it's for the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mishum shenemar, as the pasuk says, Kol Paul Hashem Limaneu. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu created everything for his kavod, Rashi explains, and it's considered doing it as an honor for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that, number one, he's honoring the Tzelem Elohim, Rashi says, as well as that other people see, others see him, and they say, wow, Baruch shekacha lo ba'olamo, that praises HaKadosh Baruch Hu that there are such beautiful people in his world. And it's not being done simply to beautify in a feminine fashion. There is a beautiful mussar that emerges from this Gemara, and that is that when a person takes care of themselves, they shouldn't look at their taking care of themselves just simply because they're bringing honor to themselves, but rather a human being represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we are all, not only a Jew, even a Gentile, is in the army of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hence, when someone dresses well and someone takes good care of themselves, they're bringing honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, obviously not in a gaudy fashion, but they're bringing honor from the Tzelem to the Tzelem Elohim. Be'ezras Hashem, our halacha topic from Daf Nun emerges from Nun Amud Beis when Rav Sheshes is asked about opening up olives, liftzoa zeisim, in order for some of the oil that is bitter to go out, where the Gemara responds, has Rav Sheshes responding, that even during the week that would be a problem because of hefsid ochlin. Our topic today is, how is one supposed to dispose of food? What way is it permissible to treat food? And what way is it prohibited? The Gemara continues on and says that it seems that if Rav Sheshes had allowed them to waste part of the olives, that would have been consistent with the Psak of Shmuel of Oysa Adam called Tzarchai Bipas, that a person is allowed to do anything he wants with bread. To which the Gemara responds, no. That case of Shmuel was talking about where it doesn't make the food disgusting. Osadim called Sarcho Bepas, Rashi explains, is that you're allowed to grind the bread and do other things to bread. That's called Sarcho. But if it's Mo'us, if it's disgusting to the food, and that was the case of Rav Sheshes, there when it's Mo'us, then it's a problem of Hefsid Ochlin. In Shulchan Aruch, we have the rule of Shmuel, which is also found in Brachas Daf Nun LaHalacha. The Mechaber writes, "Oisa Adam Tzarchav Bepas." A person is allowed to use for his shimush his needs with bread. Now, here the Mishnah Brura comments on "Oisa Adam Tzarchav Bepas." Ratzalomar Tzarich Tashmishav. If it's for his purposes. In other words, it seems to me the Mishnah Brura is expanding, based on earlier poskim, the definition of tzrachav bepas. And it doesn't only apply to use the pas in different ways of how he wants to eat it, but rather for any types of his purposes, then he's not over the iser. Now, we will explain what that means in a moment. In terms of what the iser is, the Rambam in Hilchas Malachim writes the following: Perik Vav Haloch Yud, Kol Mishaber Kalim VeKorea Begodim VeHorez Binyan. Anyone who destroys objects, Umeabed Macholos Derech Hashchasa, and destroys food over below Tashkis, that would be an iser of someone who's Mafsid Ochlin. Piskei Juvis makes a good point, where he points out that there are really two sugyas in regards to Ochlin. One is Hefsid Ochlin, and the other is Bizui Ochlin. Right now, we're discussing Hefsid Ochlin, and therefore, Hefsid Ochlin would qualify as an Isur D'Araisa. It's interesting to note that the Rambam seemed to allude to the idea that we mentioned in the Mishnah Brura, that it's, if he's doing it Derech Hashchasa, then it is Aser. But if it's Tzarech Tashmishav, now where you draw the line of Tzarech Tashmishav is an interesting question, but if it's Tzarech Tashmishav, then that could very well be not considered Derech Hashchasa. If we only had Rashi's definition, then that would come out a big stringency that for personal use, for personal advantage, that would not be enough. From Rashi's definition, it sounds like only those things, maybe Rashi would say, is prohibited. Either way, now we're being osik in the halacha and not how to define the Rashi. And here we see the heter of Tzarech Tashmishav. How far does this heter go? The Shevet Alevi in Chelek Tes Simin Kuf Chaf is quoted as saying that if someone wants to be mafsid meichel and mashke because of personal chumras, for example, If he's machmer on gilui mashkin, that water that's left out, it's not a problem to throw it, to pour it out. By the way, in our house, what we do is if we're machmer on gilui mashkin, we use it to pour into flowers. Or for afroshes trumas and maestros, so then a person knows that meikra d'dina trumas and maestros is done. But he's, let's call him for lack of a better term, a brisker, and he wants to do it again. That also does not qualify as Baal Tashkus. We could add that fits in beautifully in the Lashon Rambam, that the Isser is Derech Hashchasa. But not only that, there is in the Sefer Eitz HaSada, which is a collection of many of these halachos, they quote from Rab Chaim Palagi that the same would apply, and also this is quoted as well by the Stei Chemed in the name of the Maritz Chiyas, that this would also apply for someone who wants to hide food for some reason or another. The example that they give is, let's say an individual is someone who personally takes many tanesim, and people serve him food, and he doesn't want them to know that he is doing a tainus, that it would be permissible for him to flush it down the toilet or to stuff it into the garbage when no one is looking and would not qualify as Baal Tashkus. This is a bigger chiddush, because the Rambam said the Isser is Derech Hashchasa. So the other instances, one could argue, it's not the Derech of Hashchasa. Being Mafrish Shumis and Isis is not a Derech of Hashchasa, one could argue. Mashkin Megulin is already tainted, so that's not Derech Hashchasa. But taking fine food and flushing it down the toilet, that would be a bigger chiddush, but that's how far the heter of Letzorech Adam goes, according to Reb Chaim Palagi and the Stei Chemed. I do have a small question on this. The Gemara in Daf Nun Amebeis in Brachos describes that in front of a chasen and kala, one is allowed to do two things, which they used to do in their days, which, by the way, is probably the source for throwing pekalach at a chasen, which I would like to argue doing in a shul they did not do in the early days, and that is, the Gemara describes, they used to pour wine out in front of the chasen and kala and throw in front of them nuts during the time that there wasn't rain on the ground, the Yemos HaChama, but during the Yemos HaGeshamim it was prohibited. Let's deal with the first case, the wine. Rashi in Dibar Maskel Mamshichin, maybe it's Rashi Lishitaso, Nunam Mebeis in Brachos, says they did it ve'ein kamishum bizayin v'hesed fishem ekablam also berosh pi hatzin or bekli. When they would have the wine flow as a simen of bracha, they would make sure that the wine was caught in a utensil. Now, if simply there's this broad heter of tzorech ha'adam, so then in such a case, why did this was a tzorech to be misameach chasen kala or for a simen tov, however you describe the tzorech, and at the end of the day, you didn't have to be machmir. Unless one says there was possible to be machmir, there wasn't necessary to be mafsid and to be mevazeh, and that's why they did it. The Mechaber continues there in Sif Aleph and says, and for this reason, it's prohibited to throw bread because of a bizui of the bread. The Beis Yosef, in his commentary to Reish Ayin Aleph, points out the Shita of Tosas on the bottom of Nun Amebeis, that when it comes to bread, it's prohibited even if the bread does not become ma'us, and when it comes to other foods, so then the halach is one is not allowed to throw them if they become ma'us in terms of hefsid ochlin. We've discussed in Brachos Daf Nun Aleph that this prohibition of throwing out bread, being mafsid the ochel of bread, does not apply to pieces of bread that are smaller than a kezayis, as borne out in the Mechaber in Simin Kuf Pei, Sif, Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. There are some poskim that ask, if this is so, that any time the ochel becomes nimas through zrika, then it is prohibited to be zorek, then how can one throw out food that is edible? Doesn't that qualify as hefsid ochlim and bizui ochlim? This is a significant problem for some poskim, as quoted by the Sefer Piskei Tshuvas on page Taf Tzadi Dalid, and in a footnote he suggests that since, based on the Gemara that we had seen, that if it's tzorech adam, then it's going to be mutter, that if it's very inconvenient,
So then in such an instance, it will cost money and so on. Let's say hotels and catering halls, if they would try to dispose of the food only by first putting it in a bag, the same way that we're makbid for not being mafsid peiro shviyas, that would be of tremendous expense. Hence, they argue that's considered sorech adam. It's a little bit of a chidush. This whole question, I would argue, also maybe in another, at another time, we could discuss why this question of the poskim might not be such a strong question. In the first place, if we're talking about leftover food. However, the Sefer Eitz HaSada, which has many psukim from Rav Yashiv, in Simin Yutes Siv Bey suggests that if one is throwing out food, in terms of Hefsed Ochlin, it could very well be that it would be permissible vis-a-vis our Gemara that said Letzorech Tashmishav is acceptable. However, in terms of Bizui Ochel, it might be appropriate to first put the food inside a bag and then throw it out. I would raise the possibility that the above-mentioned heter is necessary for hotels and wedding halls, etc., but for the average person, maybe we could deal with the shaila of being zorek in a different manner. And I say this beloshen ulai. Could very well be that this sif in Shulchan Aruch that speaks about zarkin is speaking about literally throwing the food. Not throwing it into the garbage. Throwing the food. If a person throws food and it becomes mos, then it's going to be prohibited. A person placing food in a certain area, which will be mafsid, will be certainly aser alt hefsid ochlim, but not necessarily because of zrika. Not necessarily that we consider this zorek. Not someone, when he puts something in the garbage, even though we use the expression to throw in the garbage, that's not what the Gemara says when the Gemara says zarkin. The Gemara is literally talking about, in the Gemara, Brachos Nun Aleph, if you take a look there, it's literally talking about zorek. If that's so, then for the average balabayis and balas habayis, throwing away food, maybe one should follow the following dictum. And that is, if the food is leftovers, we saw leftovers in less than a kezayis and kuf pei is permissible. It doesn't have a chashivus of ochel. If it's more than a kezayis, so then the question becomes whether it's something that people would eat. If it's something that people would eat, Einachinami. One should not throw it out because it's hefsid ochlim. If it's something that people would not eat, so then by definition, maybe we could argue that in such a case, it doesn't qualify as hefsid if people aren't eating it anyhow. If people are eating, so then you come into the only heter one possibly has is the above mentioned heter. In terms of bizui ochlin, so then you have the chumrah of today's poskim, who suggests that in terms of bizui ochlin, possibly to put it in a bag. But that is only required if it has a status of an ochel. If people wouldn't eat it anymore, it does not have an ochel. So maybe the suggestion is not to throw out everything from the table, to put it back in the refrigerator, and if people do not eat it for a couple of days, so then there would be no problem to throw it out directly because it loses its status of ochel. This Bezer Hashem concludes the halacha topic from Daf Nun. It's one of these bonuses. Daf Nun and Shabbos, Daf Nun and Brachos have the topic of Hefsid Ochel.